Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They're down and one. Ball's on the ground. And it's recovered by Nashawn Wright.
Joe Buck on the call last night on what was, without question, the biggest mistake of a game littered with them last night. I think for the first time in the 24 games he has played as Washington's starting quarterback, and in one of the eight games that he has started and lost, Jaden Daniels was a big reason why they lost. There were other reasons, but as he described it, his lack of focus on that play was costly. Washington is 3-3, and they deserve it. Good morning, everybody. Max is with me. Ben will join us later in the show. Your chance to weigh in about an hour. I've got a pretty long game take, list of things that I liked, and there were things to like, but a lot more things to not like from a disgusting 25-24 loss to the Bears on what turned out to be a much wetter and breezier and sort of depressing night in Landover. You know, you look at this game after the fact, but even during the fact, both teams made enough bad plays to deserve the loss. Washington just made more of them. And now, at 3-3, with a brutal part of their schedule, at least as it appears now, coming up, their season is a bit in the balance, hanging in the balance. They have road games at Dallas and Kansas City in the next two games. They're going to face one of the best offensive teams in the league with, let's face it, one of the worst defenses in the league once again. They're going to go to Kansas City on a Monday night, and then they get to come home against Seattle and Detroit. This is a four-game stretch before they go to Madrid that I think has a chance to tell the tale on Washington's 2025 season. They better win at least two of these games in right now what is a loaded NFC. Whew! That one was a bit unexpected. Look, I felt like Chicago could win the game, talked about it all week, but I didn't expect them to win it. I thought it would be a tight, hard-fought game. Didn't expect Washington to lose it, not the way they did lose it. It was a bad start to the night. Once again, a slow start. Fourth time, they've been down double digits in a game. They were down 14-0 against Green Bay, down 10-0 in their loss to Atlanta, down 10-0 last week against the Chargers, and down 13-0 game last night against the Bears. And they recovered, and they had an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they had the lead with the ball a couple of times, up 24-22, but they didn't do enough to win the game. And this one hurts. It hurts for the larger picture in the NFC, and it hurts because in the interim, we've got a lot of questions that are starting to get answered, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This is one of those games, by the way, as the great Ken Beatrice, the pioneer of sports talk radio in this town, many, many years ago, used to say about NFL games, "More games are lost than won," he would say with his New England accent. Not well done by me there. And last night was the perfect example of that. Washington lost the game more than Chicago won the game. And they lost the game. It starts with -3. Turnover margin is the go-to if you don't watch a game and you're just wondering, reading a box score, who won and how it happened. If you see a -3, 95% of the team, the team with the -3 in the turnover margin lost the game. You don't need to look at anything else. It is a death sentence, -3. That is too big of a differential. You know, -2 last night, they may have overcome. They overcame a -3 last year at home against Philadelphia in December. They turned it over 5 times. They got 2 back, but it was -3, and they won a game. But 95% of the time, -3 equals a big L. And last night's -3, two of those are on the quarterback. Because, let's face it, you know, in the games that he has played in, and we're talking now of the 24 that have been played since he arrived and started, they've only lost 8 of those. And in most of those 8, you couldn't point to Jaden and say, yeah, he was the culprit. He was the major reason. Got to do it this morning. Got to do it. Because those 2 turnovers, the last one in particular, were deadly. The first one they were able to overcome. When you throw a first quarter interception, which, by the way, was on him. Definitely on him. The throw is late. He's made that throw before, but he was not on time. He was late. But they overcame that. They had a lead. You can overcome a turnover early in the game. You know, against an opponent that you are actually, I think, better than, not last night, but you can't overcome what he called, quote, a lack of focus, close quote, with just over 3 minutes left in the game on a wet field with a wet football on a botched fumble. That has to be supreme focus, not lack of focus. He did a hell of a lot of good things last night. They're not in that game last night without him. I mean, I think everybody understands that. But the 2 turnovers and the last one in particular, the lack of focus with a wet football, with the game on the line, on 3rd and 1, did them in. Did them in. All right. That is a mistake that you cannot make in that spot. He's got to be better. So you have to call, for the first time, I think, really, I don't know, some of you called him out in the Philadelphia game last year on the road, short turnaround against Vic Fangio, didn't play that well, didn't play that well against Dallas in the season finale in the first half. But last night was the first legitimate moment of his career where he's going to take some bullets, and he deserves them for the loss. Sure, the defense could have stepped up and bailed him out on the final Chicago drive of the game. But did you have any confidence at that point that it would? Because what has emerged here in recent weeks is the bigger, larger season-long concern. The defense isn't good again. It's got areas in which we thought it had made progress and it was improved. But the bottom line is, if they're not playing Russell Wilson's Giants or Geno Smith's Raiders, or an absolute demoralized and decimated Chargers offensive line. They have been bad. Bad against Green Bay, bad against Atlanta, and bad for different reasons last night. The reasons being more like last year's reasons. Couldn't stop the run. It was an embarrassing final drive. Embarrassing. A true no resistance final drive after the quarterback made a killer mistake. Defense could have still bailed them out. Third and five, easy pitch and catch, like backyards, you know, father and son to Loveland. Are you kidding me? It's third and five? You're going to leave this dude wide open for an easy pitch and catch first down? And then to let DeAndre Swift run Jake Moody from a 50-plus yard field goal into a chip shot with barely even touching him when you know run is coming. They're trying to run the clock out. They're trying to make Washington burn their timeouts. And you can't stop him from running for 34 yards on five carries to make the field goal super chip shot easy. Zero resistance on that final drive. Embarrassing final drive for Washington last night. An atrocious night overall for the defense. The worst night of the year against the run. Looked like last year. That's what it looked like last year, all season long. Gaping holes, bad tackling, no edge setting. This was a team that couldn't run the football coming in. Couldn't run it. DeAndre Swift, 7.7 yards per carry. Why didn't they give it to him more? Like, I was looking, you know, during the game, I'm like, shouldn't they be running even more? It's kind of like the Detroit playoff game. Like, Ben Johnson forgot that Jahmyr Gibbs was running through Washington's defense at 10 yards per clip. DeAndre Swift had 14 carries in the game. You know, Caleb Williams had 29 pass attempts. Flip that around, and Washington gets run out of the building. Ben Johnson against Washington. You know, Gibbs last year should have touched. I think it was Gibbs who had 14 carries last year when he should have had about 24, and that would have never been a ball game. He was averaging 10 yards a carry in the first half. Swift goes 14 for 108, 7.7 yards per carry. A bad rushing offense against what we thought was an improved rush defense. That last drive was infuriating, though. You're pissed when Jaden botches the fumble handoff, and it's on him. You know, you didn't know until you saw the replay. Aikman was giving you kind of a heads up. You can tell Aikman gets it in his ear before they show the replay, saying, I'm not sure Jaden ever had, you know, control of the ball. I don't think he saw it, but somebody saw it. And then they played it back, and he didn't protect the football. It's a wet football. You play outdoors sometimes in the NFL. And when we get into, you know, October, November, December, the weather can be bad outdoors. It was a crappy night last night. But my God, it's not like they took over in field goal range. You know, Chicago, after the fumble, started at their own 44-yard line. Oh my God. The third and five to Loveland. Cover somebody, please. People are wide open. Thank God Zacchaeus dropped that ball from the 3-yard line. He's still running if he catches that. Bad night for the defense. Bad night for Jaden because of the two turnovers. But the season-long big picture is we're right where we were last year. Superman's going to have to wear the cape every week. There's no margin for error with a defense that's going to play this kind of defense against capable NFL teams offensively. Caleb threw for 252 last night, and he was inaccurate all night long. 252 and a touchdown. It should have been about 352 because Zacchaeus should still be running 97 yards for a touchdown. Adunze had the touchdown on a terrible illegal formation call. The ref on ABC came on and said, that's not a legal formation on the left tackle. That should have been a touchdown. The Bears had 381 yards of offense. It could have easily been 481 and more points. And by the way, it's not like the Bears' offense is so much better than Russell Wilson's Giants or Geno Smith's Raiders. It's getting better, and they've got Ben Johnson, okay? He is a play caller, for sure. He is a designer, and they change things up. You know, coming into the game, on the show yesterday, I said, look, they've had a week. What are they going to change? Well, they went with less, you know, one back, two tight ends, 12 personnel, more three wide receivers out there last night than we have seen. We saw them blitz more. I think those numbers will reflect that. We saw them play more in the box against the run defensively. I think the numbers will show that. I wrote down at least six different times in the first half where they had almost eight and a half in the box on an early down. You know, Dallas is a lot better than Chicago offensively. Kansas City, they'll have Rashee Rice back, a lot better than Chicago is offensively. The Seahawks, much better. Detroit, much, much, much better offensively. They got some tests coming up, man. And because they're not making up for it with takeaways, with opportunistic, you know, plays here and there, they had a couple last week, okay? And those were huge plays in the game. They're going to need a couple of those every week, and they're not a takeaway team. They've got three through six games. Three. Only two teams have fewer than three, and they've one of those two teams has played one less game. If you can't stop people consistently, if you don't have a wrecking crew pass rusher, if you don't have a game-changing, game-wrecking pass rusher, which they don't have, you better somehow do what Chicago does. Take the ball away. They now have 12 takeaways in five games. 12 for them in five games. So you got to figure it out defensively, or over these final 11 games, Superman's going to have to don the cape at least another seven times. And he did it last year 12 times. You're going to need it at least another seven to have a chance. And last night he did it, but he made too many mistakes. And those mistakes were clearly on him. Just not a good night overall. Really, really rough night, and really leaves you with the thought of, if they're that bad also against the run, where are the answers defensively? Where are they? Quinn's got to figure some crap out soon. He's got to figure out why his defense doesn't cover and then makes up for it by being bad against the run and not a good takeaway team. Because you can't possibly be a legitimate deep into the postseason threat if you can't get off the field consistently against Chicago. My game take next. Logan Paulson coming up at 11 a.m. Had a conversation with Logan yesterday. I want you to hear it today on the show. So I think in going back, and I don't think I emphasized this enough yesterday after the game, I was, by the way, felt it on Monday night, man. Pissed. Really, really pissed that they let that one get away. Especially considering what's coming up. It's one of those games I think I hope we don't have to look back on and say, you had to get that one. You had to get that one. And still, you know, going back and watching that final defensive drive was repulsive, truly repulsive. I don't know how Dan Quinn did it. I don't know how Joe Witt Jr. went back and looked at the Bears' final drive, a third and five, and it's just way too easy to Loveland for 6 yards. And then to watch DeAndre Swift run it right off the edge, two different runs of 10 and 15 yards, when you know they're running the football. They're trying to make you use your timeouts. They want a walk-off field goal attempt. They don't want to give the ball back to number five. They don't want to have to, you know, have a super long field goal. They want clock burned, timeouts burned, And there was zero resistance to the Chicago Bears in a spot in which it would have been nice had the defense actually stepped up for once in a year and a half and bailed the quarterback out after his mistake, the fumble. But it was literally, it looked like they laid down. Of course they didn't. And that, I guarantee you, made them throw up in their mouths watching that final drive. A 10-yard run off the edge. They pitched it to him. I mean, they were so confident that they took the risk of just pitching it to him in the backfield and just untouched for 15 yards on a 2nd and 12 after Caleb Williams, you know, got sacked there by, you know, stopped on a scramble. I mean, that was hard to watch. But the thing that, upon further review, that I didn't mention enough yesterday, and I should have. You know, I said Jaden was really good other than the turnovers. It wasn't just that he was really good. I think what we saw on Monday night was an example of something we've talked about for many months now. An example of Jaden Daniels elevating average talent around him to offensive success. It's hard to say that on, you know, the day after or 2 days after a game in which he had two critical turnovers that cost them. The last one really cost them the game. Now, it's possible that the Bears could have gotten one more possession after a field goal or after a punt and gone, you know, if they didn't fumble. Real quickly, too, upon further review, Kroski Merritt on the exchange, if it's a smooth exchange, I don't think he gets the first down there on 3rd and 1. There was penetration. It's why they were able to recover the fumble so quickly. They were in the backfield. The defensive penetration didn't cause the fumble. The exchange, Jaden not having a grip of the football, caused the fumble. But the reason it was recovered so quickly is that they were there, and I think Kroski Merritt gets nailed for no gain or even a 1 yard loss, and they're faced with like a 4th and 2 in that situation. But what was really evident in going back and watching the game is that, you know, the emphasis on adding talent. Tunsil's had a good season so far, okay? Debo's had a good season. Debo didn't look right to me the other night. And that's part of the reason I'm mentioning this, is that the other night they didn't even have what appeared to be a fully healthy Debo Samuel. And you've got Chris Moore and Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey, and they're fine, but you don't have anything great around you. You still don't have, you know, arguably your second best offensive lineman, Sam Cosmi, in the lineup yet. By the way, I think he'll be back this week. That's my prediction. I think we learned that today from Quinn, is that they are going to activate him and that he's going to have a chance to play on Sunday. And I would guess that he goes in for Wiley and that Chris Paul stays right where he is. A, right guard's his position. B, Chris Paul has played too well. I don't think they're going to pull him. But I think what we saw the other night, it's hard to say this after three turnovers and two of them by the quarterback, but that's the example of how great Jaden Daniels is. He didn't have much around him, certainly nothing elite around him. And yet, you know, this was a team that was able to generate a lot of offense, points, didn't require the other team to soil themselves to get points. They moved the football drive after drive. They just had the turnovers. You know, the turnovers were crucial. The interception was bad. It was a late throw. But they have no chance of winning that game Monday night without Jaden Daniels at quarterback. His performance, if you just take one of the turnovers away, especially the last one, was an A-minus, B-plus performance. He was great. He was incredible as a scrambler. Had an 18-yard run, 15-yard run, rushed for 52 yards in the game, almost all of it scrambles, because the Bears took away all of the option runs, the zone reads. And there really weren't any designed runs. There wasn't a quarterback draw. There wasn't a quarterback counter in the game. You know, a designed run is that. You know, an option run is the zone read, where he's got the option. They were playing back and Jaden with sometimes 8 in the box. And they took that away from him the other night. Not all teams have been able to do that. The Bears did that. Give the Bears credit. They changed during that bye week. They played defense completely in a different way than they had played prior to the bye week, which was always something we contemplated. You know, the numbers were the numbers, but what if the Bears play it differently? They should play it differently, and they did. But Jaden Daniels elevated that team. And one mistake at the very end, and then, you know, no resistance from the defense, cost them the W. But we saw it all last year, but we also had Terry McLaurin, a high-end number one receiver on the field. And they didn't have any of that the other night. And yet that offense, as it did in L.A. against the Chargers after the first two drives, is elevated to a level in which they can definitely win games with average talent on offense. They can. Biggest concern, though, is what they are defensively. I talked to Logan Paulson about that yesterday. You'll hear that conversation next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Three highest go-to. Number one, McNichols. He was fantastic, especially blitz pickup. Time after time, he was tracking linebackers across multiple offensive linemen to pick them up, and he was stoning them when he did. You mentioned the big third down. That was a huge play in the game where he had to get most of it on his own and then finish off the run to get the first down. And I even dinged him for his drop pass on the other third down. I don't think it was going to be a big play, but he still got dinged for it. So he was really solid for me offensively, and he led the way. Number two is, I'm a broken record here, Chris Paul, another solid game by him. He's the best lineman on the field each week for Washington. And then Biotic came in third. Those are my top three. And Biotic has been playing really solid too. And now I'll transition here to the three lowest, and I'll save for that. So the three lowest go to Chris Moore, not only from the drop pass, so it should have been a first down, but blocking, he didn't help out a lot at all. A couple times he was asked to set the edge, and he was the reason the play didn't work. So he was getting dinged on those plays. Connerly, not his best game, not his worst game, but he's in the bottom three, Connerly Jr. And then Wiley, by far the worst player on the field offensively. And that's back-to-back games. He's been on the bottom for me. I forget the all-world guard that you say you have coming back.
Sam Cosmi, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, so you need – is there – When could he be coming back? Because they need to insert him.
It could be this week. It could be this week. You know, he's in that 21-day where you've got the opportunity to, you know, activate him.
Okay.
He tore his ACL in the playoff game against the Lions last year.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
So that's the so, you know, it basically the normal recovery is late September, early October. So here we are. But yes, and by the way, his position is right guard. So,
you need him.
Yeah, so there's been some question among some of the people that cover the team. Will he come in for Paul or will he come in for Wiley?
Oh, he's not coming in. He is not coming in for Paul. Yeah. If he comes in for Paul, I have lost all faith and trust in anybody that knows anything about football over there.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how obvious I can say it. He's your best lineman on the field. Tunzel's a close second, or no, I'd say Biotis is second. Tunzel's the third, if I'm ranking them. But Chris Paul does not mess up, and he mauls guys consistently. He better not leave the field or stop watching the game.
You know, you were the first one you did. You're like, this dude Allegretti and this dude Brandon Coleman, they might need to sit. And they ended up sitting the following week. And Brandon
so Wiley's been so bad the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Maybe they bring Allegretti back in.
Yeah, maybe, because Coleman's been just flat out inactive. He hasn't been active on game days. Allegretti has been, I think, active on most of these game days.
Well, you can say this with complete confidence that he's going in at right guard when he comes back, or Wiley. He is not coming in for Paul.
So the Chris Moore thing is interesting to me, although the touchdown catch, it wasn't a clean catch. It was a perfect ball, and he really kind of caught it, and he's lucky he held on to it, but he did do a good job of getting the knee down.
Yeah, and I gave him points for it. He gets credit for it. I did not give him the points he should earn for that play. It's a good play. It's a good catch. He just was not a factor and not in the run game the rest of the way. And then the drop, I give the same score there for the touchdown and the drop, because you don't know you're going to get the fourth down the next play. So essentially, and I say this on the broadcast when I'm doing Marin all the time, a third down drop to me is a turnover. You're punting the ball now.
Yeah.
So because you dropped the ball and you didn't get the first down, I consider it a turnover. I think it should be a stat. It's not a pick. It's not a fumble. But it is a turnover because you're giving the ball back. So for the same points you got for the touchdown, they get erased for the third down drop. And then he just had some other bad plays.
Well, then I know what's coming on defense, because Quan Martin basically turned the ball over by not tackling Swift on the 55-yard touchdown. But we'll get to that in a moment. I wanted to ask you about Zach Ertz, because you have basically, since you started doing this, you are not an Ertz guy. It's very clear that you're not, or you know, based on the games that he's played so far, what did you think of his game Monday night?
He's out of my bottom three.
Yeah, no, he's not.
I'll tell you what I thought. Yeah, so he did great. He was I wouldn't say great, but he is, he's just under the top three, and it's because he made plays in the passing game. He wasn't asked to do much from a block. I highlighted this. The play right before the Jaden pick.
Okay.
I don't have that time stamp.
It's first quarter. It is 6:17. The play before, is 6:50.
Yeah, so this is the most aggressive Ertz has been all year in run blocking. He cuts this guy as he comes across the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Watch this.
Yeah.
He has to. He's asking, you have to block this guy. He's a DN. I know you don't want to do it, but you have to. He goes low and he chops his leg up. Now, does this guy still technically get in on the tackle? Yeah.
You think he's just not really interested at this age in doing a lot of blocking?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it. This is the only probably plus grade I've given him on a run play all season.
Right.
And I gave it to him. I mean, he gets credit. I'm asking a lot of you to come across and take on a D end, and he does it, and he gets him on the ground. That's a successful block if I get you on the ground.
What did you
think? Let's give him his props there.
Yeah. What did you think of Kroski Merritt? What did you think of Bill in this game?
I think Bill's still Bill. I'm not ready to hand the keys to him, just like I wasn't ready to hand the keys to him after the Chargers game. I'm a big fan of McNichols, and he's growing on me more and more. Bill's coming along. He's pass protection is getting better. He had one that was his fault where the pocket broke down, but he's also standing up too. I got no issues with Bill. I'm just not ready to give him the keys. I think McNichols still earned some touches, and I think you've seen it. He's got big third down potential. He's the last 2 weeks getting first downs, and it's not just that. His pass blocking, his blitz pickup is better. It's really good, actually. Got good hands other than the drop, and I think he's got some shake in him too. It's just a different kind of shake. So yeah. I'm fine with Bill coming along. I'm all for it. I mean, he looks good, but don't stop giving the ball to McNichols. Just don't stop giving him reps. Now, I did make this other note. This is your second time fumbling, Bill, in back-to-back week. Coaches do to this. You know, coaches just rewind that film and then say, this guy's a fumbler, rewinds it. This guy's a fumbler, rewind it. This guy's a fumbler, and that's they'll just repeat that. And now the defenses each week are now going to think, and it's just going to be part of their tackling, is they're going to think Bill's a fumbler. So you got to overcome that, because once defenses smell that blood, then they're going to come after it. So he's going to have to do a good job of figuring out how to not fumble again and try to erase that narrative that he has now.
All right, defensive top three, bottom three.
Top three defense go to Kinlaw, Luvu, and Darnell Savage. Played well. I was a fan of him. And then Armstrong, honorable mention. He's right there. They're basically the same score, but those are my top three. Bottom three go to Wagner. Just caught too much in pass coverage and out in space and not getting it done. But he made up for it a little bit in the run game here and there, so he kind of bounces out, but he's still my bottom three. Preston Smith, he's just nothing out there right now, so he's got to be in there. And then by far with Sanders still, and it's just from all the mistakes in man coverage and not covering, getting lost in coverage. I dinged him for dropping that interception. I mean, that interception was the easiest one he's probably going to have all season, and he drops it down there on the goal line. The one he caught last week was much more difficult.
Right.
So you got to make that play, because that's points coming off the board if you make that play, and he's just a liability in man coverage, so he rounds out the bottom.
Sanders still the lowest graded defensive player and the lowest graded offensive player was Wiley. Man, you like McNichols. They love
McNichols. I do like him.
They love him.
I like him. That was good.
And I think it's one of the, well, I mean, look, Bill ended up getting 17 carries in this game, which is the most for him. But that fumble, it's a good hit by Sweat to knock it out. But to your point, they're going to be searching for it now.
Yes,
all right.
They will.
What else that I haven't asked you about or you haven't mentioned?
I think we got it, man. Covered it. They need to get Terry back. They need to find a way to get more dynamic on the edge with winning man coverage, or they're just going to be this is going to be too much on Jalen moving forward the rest of the season. If they have another game like this where the run game isn't taking up chunk yardage like it was.
Oh, by the way, I thought because of that egregious missed tackle on Swift on the 55-yard touchdown pass that Martin was going to be a bottom threer for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got dinged on it for sure. I gave him the equivalent of giving up a touchdown because he did. Now, he gets picked again, too. It's just, I don't know why him and Lattimore they can't stay out of each other's way.
I know.
Crazy.
All right, great job on short turnaround. Appreciate it so
much, man.
We'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
Bobby Belt covers the Cowboys and is a part of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Also with DallasCowboys.com. You can follow Bobby on X at Bobby Belt TX. Bobby's been on with us before. He came on with us before the season started to talk about the NFC East and the Cowboys. And here we are, Bobby, 6 weeks into the season. I want to start with this. I just asked, and we did a call segment, do you view this game as code red, meaning must win? And I don't personally, from Washington's standpoint, believe that it is that dire, like a loss dropping us to 3-4 would be like doom for the season. What do you guys see it as?
Dallas is in a weird position because I think a lot of fans right now are just very pessimistic about what they could be. So a lot of people are like, you know, okay, if they lose a game, do we feel like we're losing anything? Like we feel like we're already not going to the playoffs, so what is the loss really? But they also tend to ebb and flow with things. They had the tie with the Packers, which a lot of people felt conflicted about, but a lot of people felt like, hey, you played with the Packers closer than we thought you could. Then they beat the Jets, and you were heading into a game against Carolina where you thought you were going to be able to win that game. So now it's been very low this weekend, the confidence, but it's a very, very capable, very efficient offense. And it's just one of the worst defenses that you are ever going to see. And so those sort of things have people conflicted, where I think if they thought it was realistic to be able to improve the defense enough to where your offense could be a threat and win you games that way, then they would be very locked in and very concerned about this game. Right now, I think a lot of people just every week assume the team's going to give up 40 points.
If they had beaten Carolina and came in with a two-game winning streak, and by the way, the tie would have been, you know, a three-game unbeaten streak, would there have been more juice? Would there have been more of a belief that, you know what, maybe we're just so good offensively we can go figure out a way to win 10 games and make the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, it probably would have changed things. And look, that offense was really, really good up until the very last possession they had. They go 3-and-out with one of the ugliest possessions you're ever going to see, and then let Carolina milk 6 minutes off the clock and win it. So that had a lot of people feeling really deflated. And that's kind of the position you've put your offense in. They have to be perfect. And not only do they have to be perfect, they have to have the ball last. And that's a tough position to find yourself in, and a frustrating one, I think, for the offense. But it's just, I think everybody feels like you're not going to get anybody off the field. And when you get somebody off the field, when you manage to stop them three plays in a row, when push comes to shove and it's the end of the game and a team says, we got to go for it on fourth down, well, you really don't feel like you're going to be able to stop them four times in a row. And so it has been a major area of concern. It's been the major high point has been the frustrations with defense. It's been the major talking point. We're going to have Jerry Jones on our station in 25 minutes. That'll be the focus, I'm sure, of the questions he gets today from our midday show. So that's the big focus. And if they would have been able to come through against Carolina, then sentiment is probably a little bit different. But I think it just felt so deflating after you saw the Eagles lose the way they did to the Giants. It felt like you kind of let an opportunity slip through your fingers to make even more of a dent in the division early.
By the way, Bobby, did Jerry not talk after the loss to Carolina?
No, and here's the thing. That's a little bit of a unique situation. So he will always talk after a home game. If he doesn't talk after a home game, something is wrong. On the road, he used to talk frequently. He had gone about the last 5 or 6 years where he'd done it once or twice, just logistics of trying to get out of there. But then this year, he had talked the first 3 weeks. So everybody kind of anticipated he might talk again the first 3 weeks on the road. So when it came time for him to talk again on the road, people were kind of surprised. We asked him about it earlier this week, and he said that it was just a logistical, according to him, he said it was a logistical nightmare to move from where they were at to get down to the locker area to do it without having a whole bunch of issues, and so he was ready to get out of there. But he said he didn't have a problem, and he came on Tuesday, 2 days later with us, and was very, very upbeat and very positive and seemed completely unshaken by all of it.
Back to the defense. What's the worst part of this horrible defense? And is there any prospect for improving?
I mean, they very basic coverage concepts they don't seem to understand. I mean, stuff they should have been doing since high school. Cover two, cover three, like really simple zone concepts. They routinely, you are seeing guys who are just wide open because somebody doesn't know where they're supposed to be. So they have said, Brian Schottenheimer, the head coach, has said that that's not so much not understanding how to play. He said they get that. Don't mistake that. He says instead it's about communication. So if there's a shift at the line of scrimmage, if something changes pre-snap that changes your responsibility, they are not always doing a great job communicating amongst each other that, hey, this has changed. This is your responsibility now. And that has led to a ton of wide open busts in the secondary. So, I mean, you could really pick your poison. The running game has gotten absolutely sliced and diced the last few weeks, and I think a lot of the stuff that Cliff Kingsbury likes to do with, you know, wider offensive line sets and weak side runs and some of the counter blocks and different things like that, that's all going to play into really abusing a Dallas run defense. And so I would say that I anticipate because of how good Dallas's offense is and how much Dallas's defense has struggled, I would anticipate both teams are scoring over 30 on Sunday.
Yeah, well, that was the other part of the question. What's the number the winning team needs to get to? So what is the number from you?
So I picked the score today at 38-35, and I don't know who to pick, really, other than just to say, I guess, whoever has the ball last. But realistically, and it's ridiculous that that's the way you got to feel about this, but in Dallas, it really does feel like whoever's got the ball at the end of the game will score and win. And so, you know, I think that probably you're going to be looking at you've got to factor in one or two stops in there somewhere just by dumb luck for the Cowboys. So I would say probably in the range of winning teams going to score 38 to 42 points. I mean, that's the kind of defense that they've played.
Yeah. I mean, the way you described the coverage mishaps is, you know, what we've talked about all season long here as well. They've just given up a ton of explosives. And then they got run on Monday night against the Bears. We're talking to Bobby Belt. He is with 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. One more on the defense. You kind of suggested that, you know, at least Schottenheimer doesn't think it's an Eberflus problem. But do you guys think it's more coaching scheme versus or personnel?
So, and this is the great question that everybody's trying to figure out right now. They are putting a circle, a hedge of protection around Matt Eberflus as an organization right now. So, Brian Schottenheimer, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, they are all just talking about, nope, not Eberflus' problem. Players got to play better. Communication's got to be better. On and on and on. To me, the question is, if the communication is what the problem is with the busts and not scheme, because like we said, scheme is cover two, cover three. A lot of these concepts everybody runs. So if the problem is communication and those sort of things, all right, at what point does that stop being on just the players, these NFL veterans who have played in schemes without issues like this before, and does it start becoming about what is your coordinator not doing to properly communicate this to the players and to get them to properly communicate it to each other? Is your language overly complicated? Are you not having them look out for the right keys and tells and different things like that? Those are the questions that everybody's trying to figure out right now. Is communication a player problem and a player responsibility, and Matt Eberflus is doing everything he can, or is Matt Eberflus failing to communicate properly? And my position has been that a lot of these Cowboys defenders were on teams in the past few years where they didn't have these same sort of issues. And Matt Eberflus had very public communication issues with players on his way out the door in Chicago. And so to me, it's the burden of proof is on the Cowboys to show us that it's not Matt Eberflus.
All right, let's flip it to the offense. Is this the best that Dak's ever played?
It's way up there. The only thing that there have been a few stretches in his career where he was playing at an absurdly high level. Beginning of 2020, before he broke his ankle, he was every week it seemed like was going to have to throw for 450 yards and was trying his best to do it. And then 2023, the second half of the season where he had that second place MVP candidacy, he was right. Really, really in control then. This is the most in command he's looked. This appears to be the point in his career that a lot of quarterbacks get to where it's like they have the answers to all they got all the answers to the tests. He seems like he just is so comfortable and so in command and understands everything that he's looking at, to where even if he has some physical limitations or he's declining physically in any sort of way, it's being compensated for the fact that he's seen everything two steps ahead of everybody else. And that has been really advantageous for Dell. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that this is, in all likelihood, the best we've seen him play.
The one thing just, like, observationally from afar, and, you know, obviously we watch all of your games and all of the games of the NFC East teams, I've just always felt with Dak, like, there are a couple of times during a game where you're like, what did you see? Why did you throw it there? And it'll end up in a pick or a near pick. Are we getting those throws, those two or three a game this year or not?
No.
Is that fair, first of all?
He really hasn't had any of that. His biggest issue, and you're right, whenever anybody has asked me, because I'm a big Dak Prescott defender, I really believe that he's much better than the general consensus says. I think his biggest problem, though, and the thing that always needs to be acknowledged, is he will occasionally get tunnel vision when he's going through his reads. And so if there's a linebacker just kind of squatting, or there's a safety buzzing or something like that, he's not always seeing them. And so because he gets locked in and he's reading the field, it's like he doesn't read stuff in the periphery all the time, and he'll throw it and it's like, nope, somebody's about to step in front of that. So that's been the one that's burned him the most frequently. It's become less and less of a problem over the years. It's not as consistent of an issue. And then this year to this point, he really hasn't had any of that. Like I said, he just seems to have a good understanding. He's always been one of the better pre-snap quarterbacks. He always reads things at the line of scrimmage really well. It was always post-snap, identifying defenders who were squatting, that was giving him a problem. Yeah. And this year, there really hasn't been a lot of that. I mean, he's had three interceptions, but I think two of them were like balls bounced in the air. And so, I mean, there's not really been a whole lot of turnover worthy plays, even as he's throwing, you know, almost as many attempts as anybody in the NFL right now.
Well, and how much has it helped that you've actually got a run game this year with Javonte Williams?
Yeah, no doubt about it. That obviously, if you can marry the run and the pass together and complement each other and change the way that, you know, you present looks and make those look unified, that's really deceptive and really troubling for the defense. And when you are playing at the level that Dak is, he can lean into those aspects of it and take advantage of it. And I think that it's a credit to Brian Schottenheimer and then a credit to Dak Prescott and the way that they work together that they've had this sort of success.
How does Washington defend this team? CeeDee Lamb's back, right? Sunday, that's the expectation?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. Yep.
So how do you defend Dallas?
You know, they are at a point right now where they are playing at such a high level, I think it is just you've got to kind of pick your poison. So I would think the best opportunity probably is, all right, let's play a two-high shelf. Let's try and kind of take some stuff away deep. Let's make him play underneath. And then in the run game, you've really just got to out-physical them at the point of attack at the line of scrimmage. They've had some trouble at times when really aggressive physical teams start coming after them. That's what Carolina did to them to really blow up the run game last week. And so the more you can blow things up and win at the line of scrimmage off the snap in the running game, the more that Dallas's issues start popping up, because Javonte Williams does not have a lot of burst. And so, if he's being forced to avoid tackles right off of the snap and you've got linebackers that are running free, that can cause some issues for you. So, I think really good run defense designs that'll help you get an advantage to beat a blocker to a spot if there's a pulling guard or something like that. That was a big part of what Carolina was able to do last week, was just beat blockers to spots and blow plays up.
Yeah, I mean, when you started with, cover two, I mean, I view this game as, if you're overly aggressive, it's going to happen quickly. I'd rather try to force them to run 10 plays and hope one of them ends in a penalty and you can win in the red zone a couple of times and force field goals, because I don't see how our defense gets off the field on Sunday if it's on it. I mean, is there any kind of hope from our end that CeeDee Lamb comes back with a little bit of rust, and that the combination of he and Pickens back after what Pickens has done here recently is, it takes a little while to figure it out?
I would think that if I was on the Washington side, I would be looking at the fact that, just knowing what I know about this team and the way that they operate, if CeeDee comes back and, if he's got a little bit of rust and you're trying to work the ball to him, George Pickens has been great here. If George Pickens doesn't get the ball all the time, and it's not even necessarily in a moody way, he just almost kind of seems to space out. And then, the route running gets lazier and the effort isn't always there. And so, if you're trying to work CeeDee back and there's just a little bit of rust and he's not finishing plays, and then George Pickens starts getting a little checked out or is playing a little more lackadaisical, well, now, you're running into some issues with the passing game. But we also saw, Dak didn't have problems moving the ball without CeeDee in the game. And, I mean, there were some instances where Pickens wasn't even getting really thrown at. The Jets game is one of them, where Ryan Flannoy, their, fifth receiver who's asked to step in there, goes off for over 100. And he's gotten into the stage of his career where he feels more like it's not him throwing to weapons, it's him throwing against the defense. And that he, if he is just able to surgically go after a defense, all he needs is just somebody to catch a ball, because he's going to put it on the spot for him.
Thanks for doing this, Bobby. Appreciate it. Good to catch up again.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Bobby Belt, everybody, 105.3 FM, the Fan in Dallas. All of our NFL conversation is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. My keys to a win over the Cowboys when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, Washington beats Dallas if. A couple of keys for a win. We'll have our predictions at the end of the show. Smell test coming up next hour. Ben will join us at 12. Big NFL weekend. We'll go around the NFL card at the end of this hour. So there's... You know, this is one of those games where it's kind of not hard. You know, you identify Dallas as a terrible defensive team, a very, very good offensive team, which is getting healthier this week as an offensive team. And so Washington, on the other hand, is a pretty damn good offensive team and a pretty porous defensive team. Not as good, not as bad defensively as Dallas. Maybe right now not as explosive or as good offensively as the Cowboys. I'll start with this. To me, this is a game in which you've got to win it with your offense. And your offense has to be your best defense. You know, every offensive drive in this game should be treated like getting stopped even once could cost you the game. You know, they may not need to be, but they should think in terms of being a four-down team Sunday against Dallas. And I say they may not need to be in four-down mode because Dallas is easily the worst third-down defensive team in the league. They give up 53.4% on third down. That's nearly 5 percentage points higher than number 31 in the league, Cincinnati. Don't leave the field offensively without points. Look, 10 drives, if you have 10, you pretty much have to score on 8 of them in this game, 7 to 8 of them. You know, of course, it's almost impossible to score on every drive. You'll have a penalty or a drop pass or whatever it is. But you have to be in the mode of offensively, we've got to be the best we can be because it'll be our best defense against the number one offense in the league. Every offensive drive gets treated like it is a game-winning drive, almost. Okay, I'm not suggesting go for it on 4th and 3 from their own 18-yard line, but 4th and 3 from their own 45, from their own at the 50 and plus territory, yeah. Number two. How do you make the offense the best defense? How do you make it so that you don't leave the field with any significant number of punts in the game? This should be like a dealer's choice kind of a game, a pick what makes you happy kind of a game, because Dallas is god-awful everywhere defensively. They can't stop the run, they can't rush the passer, and they can't cover. I think it starts offensively running behind Tunsil and Chris Paul. If that's with Bill, fine. If that's with McNichols, fine. If that's with Rodriguez, we'll see about his health, fine. But you got a big advantage on that left side of the offensive line. Run the football because time of possession, and yeah, you'd love to strike quick. You'd like to have it over quickly. But in this game, you know, a 9-play, 10-play, 12-play drive, churning the clock, don't letting the ball hit the ground on throws, running the football, which you can do. I think it starts with running the football. And more in, we're not stretching them out. We're not trying to trick you. We got a mauler at left guard right now and a mauler at left tackle, and they can't stop people up front. Number three, you cannot make mistakes on offense this week. You made 3 of them against the Bears. And if you'd only made 2 of them, you probably would have won the game. But that's the Bears. Okay, that's Caleb Williams. It's not Dak Prescott. It's not Dallas. You cannot make mistakes this week. And that means turnovers, penalties, drop passes. You know, the 3 killers of drives, right? A turnover ends it. A drop pass often ends it or derails it. And a penalty almost always derails it. Even though our team over the life, this very short life of Jaden Daniels, has been awesome for the most part in overcoming long down and distance disadvantages, you don't want to be in that mode because you can't afford to punt too many times in this game. No turnovers, no drops, few penalties, I think, is crucial in this game. Flip it to the defense. To me, this is a bend don't break game. This is a, as Bobby Belt said, this is a keep it everything in front of you football game. Because, and by the way, I think that means heavy zone coverage. I don't know how you end up in man coverage a lot against this team. If you end up in man coverage a bunch against Lamb and Pickens, who are you doubling? God forbid you have to bracket both. The tight end will kill you. He leads the league in receptions. They use Turpin as a receiver. He can kill you. They use this guy Flournoy. He can kill you, and they can run the football. I think this is a game in which offensively, whatever it takes to stay on the field, possess the football and score, you think aggressively. Defensively, you think much more conservatively. You bend, you don't break, you make them run 10, 11 play drives, and then I think the next key is red zone offense wins this game. You've got to keep them to 3 for 6, you know, 2 for 6. 3 for 5, whatever it is. You got to get red zone stops and force Aubrey out there for field goals. You know, if you're 3 for 6, that's 21, add 3 field goals, you know, for the other 3 red zone stops, you got them at 30. And you got a shot then, potentially, to get more than that. Doesn't mean they're not going to score from outside the red zone. Understood that, especially with Aubrey. I mean, they're in field goal range when they cross half, you know, midfield for that kicker. But red zone offense, red zone defense will be crucial. The team that ends up plus in red zone ends up winning this game. The team that kicks more field goals loses. The team that scores more touchdowns in the red zone wins. And if Washington does play more bend don't break, more cover two, keep everything in front of you, you got to tackle well. You cannot play that defense and not get Javonte Williams to the ground, not get Pickens to the ground when he catches one against your zone coverage. CeeDee Lamb, the same thing. And then, you know, over a long drive, maybe Dallas makes a mistake. Maybe you get a phantom penalty, you know, a holding that doesn't really look like a holding. That forces a field goal. Maybe on a condensed field, you can make a stop or two in the red zone. What else do I have here? Kevontae Turpin. I think we all remember what happened last year in FedEx Field. It was FedEx Field last year. No, it was Northwest Field last year. When did it go to Northwest Field? Beginning of last year, yeah. This guy is so dangerous with the ball in his hands. And by the way, they're not just getting the ball into his hands on reverses offensively, jet sweeps. They're throwing the football to him. He's a bit more of a target in some of these games. But with the new kickoff rules, Washington had one team last year, one, that they did not do a great job on kickoff returns against. And that was, of course, the Dallas Cowboys in that game at Northwest Field. In that game, Kevontae Turpin had the touchdown. They had the 99-yard kickoff return when Washington had cut it to 20-17. And then they had another kickoff return off that, you know, in onside kick attempt. But Turpin is a dangerous, dangerous kickoff returner. He averaged 44.8 yards per kickoff return. And that doesn't give you a chance to bend, not break, if they're scoring on kickoff returns or if they're returning it, you know, directly into the red zone. He's just an outstanding, dangerous returner. And I love our team's special teams coverage units. We've been excellent. Lastly, look, if both teams somehow perform in the red zone, it could come down to Brandon Aubrey against Matt Gay. Gay can't miss indoors in that stadium. You know, the distance in which the ball travels right now this year because of the juiced ball is already an advantage. Kicking in that stadium indoors, you got to be able to kick a couple 52, 53, 55 yarders. Hopefully, you're not in those positions, but at the end of a half or maybe at the end of the game, the kicker that comes through will be big. I really view this game as offensively, you can't punt much. And defensively, you got to keep everything in front of you and tackle well. And if you do that, then maybe you can get some red zone stops, force field goals, and you can win, you know, a 31-28 kind of a game, a 34-31 kind of a game. Red zone results are going to tell the tale. You know, turnover margin, obviously, you'll go to. The second thing you want to go to if you don't watch the game is red zone and how the teams performed in the red zone. Because a 4 out of 5 day, a 4 out of 4 day, a 5 out of 6 day, yeah, they could be in the red zone 6 times. And we could be as well. That's going to be tough to overcome. Got to get some red zone stops. I like our chances, though. I actually really legitimately like our chances in this game Sunday. We'll have the prediction a little bit later on. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL. Some really good games Sunday, including Washington and Dallas. I do want to tell you, though, quickly about Window Nation. Times are tough right now for some of you in this area, and Window Nation understands that with the government shutdown. If you've been impacted, Window Nation really wants to help. Right now, buy 2 windows, get 2 free, and make no payments and pay no interest for 2 full years. And that's no down payment or no monthly payments until the year 2027, and they're not going to charge you interest. That's real relief and a great way to make your home more comfortable before winter arrives. They've got an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers right here in the DMV. You can trust Window Nation to take care of you and your home. home. Don't wait. To get started, you've got to go to windownation.com or 866-90-NATION. Mention my name before Halloween, before October 31st. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. You'll actually find out which windows in your home need to be replaced. Once you get the quote, they're not going to pressure you. They're not going to obligate you to anything. You make the decision. But I promise you, you'll be working with a company that has a great product, has great customer service, 45,000 five-star reviews, number one on Forbes' list of window installation companies in America, and you're getting a great deal. WindowNation.com, 866-90-NATION. WindowNation, quality windows, flexible financing, and comfort you can count on.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.